Joining us on the WBGO Journal is Mark Krasovic, the Assistant Professor of History and American Studies at Rutgers University, Newark, and the Interim Director of the Clement A. Price Institute on Ethnicity, Culture, and the Modern Experience. The 37th Annual Marion Thompson Wright Lecture Series. You took over this huge project that was left by Clem Price, and before that, both Clem and Giles Wright put this together many years ago, the 37th annual, Mark. What a tribute to this wonderful event that has been put on at Rutgers Paul Robeson Center for many years. The 37th annual, City Moves, Black Urban History Since 1967. Tell us about the February 18th event.
Sure. Well, this year, as you know, marks the 50th anniversary of the 1967 Newark Uprising. So we wanted MTW to mark that occasion in some way. But we wanted to do it in a way that sort of rethought what 1967 means to Newark and to American cities at large. And by that, you know, I mean, I think a lot of people think of that as a pivotal year. They think of it as sort of the time, the moment when cities died, you know, when people picked up and fled for the hills. And though, you know, we know that that is true in some cases, I think it's also appropriate, it's also correct historically to think of it as a year that not everybody took off, that some people organized and they rededicated themselves to the city. So what we're really interested in doing is telling the subsequent history in the decades after 1967 in a more, I hope, thoughtful, complicated way.
And just last week, we had the four living mayors of Newark joining us in the WBGO studios, starting with Ken Gibson, 1970 taking off right after the rebellion in 67. First of all, for the history books, what do you think it should be called? Should it be called rebellion, riots, civil unrest? How do you phrase it?
I tend to call it uprising to sort of split the difference, I think, between various words. You know, I think each one has their strengths and has their weaknesses. I think that, you know, rebellion, to the extent that that emphasizes the real political nature of those events, is highly appropriate. I think riots, which is often thought of as a word that denotes, you know, that there being an absence of politics, is therefore, you know, not quite as favorable. I don't see why it necessarily has to mean that. Yeah, I think there's a range of things. And so long as it captures, you know, the sense that this was not just some people, you know, blowing off steam, that this was not people acting wildly, that there were real root causes and issues that they wanted addressed, there's a real politics to it, then I'm happy with any word.
Mark, this is a very touchy subject, obviously, in this city. Many people say, you know, it's time that we try to learn from what happened. Other people say you're bringing up something that, you know, that has scarred the city for many years. Tell us why you feel it's important that we address the 50th anniversary of the uprising, as you put it.
Fair enough. I think it's important because it lives with us in so many different ways. You know, the past is not even past. You know, it lives with us at once as, you know, regrettably still this very powerful, I think in some sectors, very popular vision of the city, vision of Newark, vision of American cities in general. And that is as places that are dangerous, that are violent, and that's, you know, very often tied up with blackness. It's racialized black, you know. So when you have President Trump talking about walking down city streets and you'll get shot, I mean, I think he's still playing with some of those tropes, some of those images that come out of 1967. So I think facing it head on is really beneficial in these times. And I think, you know, the legacy is sort of two-pronged. It's that negative legacy, and then there's what I was talking about before, the sort of mobilization that happened after it that powerfully shaped the city in ways that are still with us. You know, Ken Gibson was elected 3 years after the uprising, and a lot of that political mobilization that was focused on the ballot box in those years was sort of energized by the violence and by the recognition that the current administration had to go.
This is a scholarly event and has been for many, many years. You have some scholars coming in to be the Marion Thompson Wright speakers. Give us a quick rundown of each and why you felt it was important for them to bring their message.
Sure. Well, this year's keynote is Thomas J. Segrue, who's now a professor of history at NYU. And in my mind, he's probably our most prominent, or one of, you know, the two or three most prominent urban historians working today. His book, The Origins of the Urban Crisis, which focused on sort of the decades leading up to Detroit's 1967 uprising, which, you know, happened a week after Newark's. So his work is, you know, really focused in that time period, thinking about what the violence meant that year. The title of his talk is Making America 1967 Again, The Unexpected Relevance of America's Year of Rebellion. And he sent me that title and I thought, I don't know what he's going to say. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but it sounds fabulous. We also have Mary Patillo, an urban sociologist of race and class, especially from Northwestern coming. Alondra Nelson, who's written these, also a sociologist, who has written these amazing books on health and science and genetics and race, will be coming to talk about the Black Panther Party's health and wellness programs. And then finally, we have Nathan Connolly, who's a historian at Johns Hopkins, who wrote a book called A World More Concrete, which is about race and property rights and the civil rights movement in the Miami area. It's a book that came out a year or two ago and won every imaginable award in urban history and American history. So he's a bit newer to the scene, but is a real star.
We're speaking with Mark Krosovic, who not only is the author of The Newark Frontier, his book out, Community Action in the Great Society, but he's also in charge of the Marion Thompson Wright Lecture Series and has taken over at the Clement A. Price Institute on Ethnicity, Culture, and the Modern Experience as the interim director. As you mentioned, with the climate now, with the change in administration and what we have been seeing lately, I would imagine you're expecting quite a crowd to show up to talk about the issues of race and civil rights.
I certainly hope so. And, I think if that is true, and I hope that that is true, that it might come out of a place of just great, great uncertainty. Like, you know, we know some of the things that the president has said about cities, but in terms of specific policies, revisions to existing policies, I feel like we're just, we don't know yet. I feel like we're in this sort of holding pattern when it comes to cities and urban policy. And, you know, we know things that Ben Carson, presumably who will be the next HUD secretary, things he has said about welfare, about public housing, about what he's willing to enforce and what he's, you know, what laws he's willing to enforce and what laws he's not willing to enforce. We'll just sort of see. But yeah, I hope that, you know, in part out of that uncertainty and the great caring that people have for this city and cities in general, that this topic will, you know, maybe particularly hit home this year.
You've been talking about Newark for quite some time. You're just out with your new book, The Newark Frontier, Community Action in the Great Society. We'll have you back to talk much more about that. But Newark is a special place for you. Tell us about that.
It is. You know, I am, you know, sort of Gen X white kid who grew up in the suburbs. I grew up in Piscataway mostly and, a few blocks from the border with Plainfield. And I feel like a lot of my sort of political education, a lot of my knowledge of the world that I was sort of given growing up was shaped by this notion that, you know, Plainfield and, you know, I think by extension, Newark, although that wasn't so much in my orbit, these were these, you know, as I was saying before, these sort of scary places that we didn't go to. And, you know, moving forward as you study histories, you know, I sort of discovered where those images come from and why people think that way about cities and what effect thinking that way has on them. And so I, you know, it sort of hit home for me as I was reading some urban history and decided that I wanted to, you know, return home to New Jersey and pick a city and sort of explore these issues in a way that would, you know, resonate a bit more with me personally, given where I grew up.
One of the things that has always impressed me about the Marion Thompson Wright Lecture Series, when it was Giles Wright and Dr. Clem Price putting it together and now Mark Krosovic, is the unbelievable ability to bring so many interesting people together on the same day. Coordinating schedules has to be a very difficult thing. So February 18th at the Paul Robeson Campus Center at Rutgers University, Newark, you've been able to pull it off again. Tell us the difficulty in maybe, or was it easier this time because everybody wants to kind of talk on this subject more than ever, maybe?
I think it actually was surprisingly easy in terms of the speakers. You know, the logistics of pulling off this event are much more complicated, but yes, I think people want to talk about this. People recognize the importance of this 50th anniversary. People are wondering what's coming down the pike over the next 4 years of this new administration. And it's the record of the series itself, for which, you know, I take really no credit. This was something that Giles and Clem built over many decades. And we found that, you know, if you send an invitation early enough, and we always send invitations with a list of the past speakers, people have leapt at the chance to be here. I can't remember the last time a speaker turned us down. And if they did, it was because of a conflict in their schedule. I cannot remember anybody turning us down since I've been there.
One of the areas and topics that Alondra Nelson from Columbia has always been challenging, a raceless future. Do you ever see a raceless future?
I don't think I see it, and I don't know that that's particularly desirable. You know, I hold out hope that we can exist peacefully, lovingly, respectfully, in the midst of difference, including racial difference. So yeah, I don't see it happening, in part because of the great weightiness of our racial history in the United States and the sort of some of the negativity that comes with it. But I also don't know that would be desirable to sort of strip people of their race. It means something to people. It means positive things to some people. So I don't know that it would even be desirable in my mind.
You and I and Clem, when he would come in, would talk about the makeup of the audience for the Marion Thompson Wright Lecture Series. It is diverse. And I would imagine, are you skewing younger these days as well?
I think we are a little bit. That's always something we have an eye on. We just started keeping some basic demographic data from the surveys that we distribute just a few years ago. So we only have a couple of years under our belt. But it seems as though that's growing. We do a lot of work reaching out to the local public schools, to specific teachers and principals that we know to try to bring classes, to professors at area universities to offer extra credit. But, you know, it is an incredibly diverse crowd. Age might be the most, the sort of least diverse way, the least diverse demographic that we have there. But, you know, it's a large crowd. It's a lively crowd. And that, I think, is what's sort of most important to me.
Give us the agenda, if you would, quickly on when people should be there and when are they going to expect the various speakers.
Well, the door is usually open around 8:30, and we have coffee and I think, you know, pastries out. But the program itself begins at 9:30 with opening remarks from myself. Chancellor Nancy Cantor from Rutgers University, Newark, will also offer a welcome. Mayor Baraka is on the schedule to offer a welcome. And so the lectures themselves will begin after those intros. And we'll break for lunch and return for the final two speakers in the afternoon. And we should wrap it up around 3:30 and then head over to the newly restored 15 Washington for our annual MTW reception with the Bradford Hayes Trio.
What would be the comment that would mean so much to you as someone leaving this event would say to you? What would you say, yeah, they got it. This is really why we do the Marion Thompson Wright Lecture Series.
This comes in various forms and iterations, but I always love when we get a comment that combines, here is something new I learned, and here is somebody that I'm going to tell. Whether that's somebody specific, or I'm going to bring it to my workplace, I'm going to bring it to my classroom, and I'm going to tell it, because that's exactly what I think, you know, Giles and Clem, and certainly what I have in mind for this, that it's this large sort of annual ritual of communal learning that reverberates out from that one day and from that room out into a larger community.
And one of your speakers is from Columbia University, and Marion Thompson Wright had her graduate work done at Columbia, so there's a little synergy there as well.
That's right. Actually, I hadn't put that together, but yes, that's right.
Give us a little synopsis of what do you think the legacy now. You guys have had, you call it MTW, but it's Marion Thompson Wright. Those who don't know about Marion Thompson Wright, what do you think she, you know, would think about now? This series in her honor has been 37 years in the making, and a little background that maybe some people who don't know about her.
Well, Marion Thompson Wright is, if not the first, among the first professionally trained Black women historians in the United States. She was a student of Merle Curtis at Columbia. And, you know, I think she, and the reason why Clem sort of latched onto her as this really important figure is that she's sort of a pioneering historian of Black New Jersey, and so wrote a book about the education of African-American New Jerseyans. You know, a very early work, a sort of pioneering work in Black history. And so I think, you know, she, you know, via her scholarship, one gets this real sense of her commitment to social and racial justice, and that that is rooted in education and not just, you know, classroom education, but community education. So I would like to think that she would absolutely love this event. You know, I imagine like Clem, she might not like her name attached to everything that it's attached to honor them, because they're very modest people. But I think she would like the vision and the mission of the lecture series.
You and I both know that after the February 18th event and the 37th annual Marion Thompson Wright Lecture Series, if he was still with us, Clem would be giving you a big hug and a big thank you. You've done a tremendous job in carrying on his legacy and the Marion Thompson Wright Lecture Series. As Mark Krasovic is the Assistant Professor of History and American Studies at Rutgers University, Newark, Interim Director of the Clement A. Price Institute on Ethnicity, Culture, and the Modern Experience, where he was the 2008-2010 Geraldine R. Dodge Postdoctoral Fellow. So congratulations on this event before it even happens, because I know they've always been a success, the MTW, and just tremendous work, Mark, and we look forward to having you come back in to talk about your book.
Thanks very much, Doug. I'd love that.